You're listening to The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Adora Udoji from WNYC and PRI, Public Radio International, in collaboration with the BBC World Service, The New York Times, and WGBH Radio Boston.
Good morning. It's August 6th. That makes it a Wednesday. It is Hump Day. And we're asking you today, give us your best argument for buying food locally. Seems it's become somewhat of a designer label in some places. Your reasons for buying locally and perhaps paying a little bit more than you would for things that come from a bit further away. That's 8778-MY-TAKE. We'd like to hear from you as always. And here's a saying for you, John. As California goes, so goes the nation. You've heard that one, right?
Sure.
Our state faces a looming cash crisis. This situation leaves me with no easy choices, only choices with consequences. Consequences that will have a direct impact on California families.
California and its lame duck governor, Arnold Schwarzenegger, are grappling with an enormous deficit, perhaps foreshadowing battles ahead for other states. The governor is dealing with a $15 billion deficit that's triggered, as you can imagine, heated debate between Republicans and Democrats, which has resulted in some political deadlocks and turmoil. Last week, the governor signed an executive order to lay off 22,000 people, slash salaries, and cut $10 billion from the state's budget. But that may be far from the end. Julie Small is covering the evolving story for Southern California Public Radio, KPCC. She joins us now. Thanks so much for getting up so early. What's going on there in California? Why can't the legislature agree on what to do? The budget is clearly looming and probably will only rise.
Well, we are in the habit of having budget gridlock every year. We have Republicans never want to add any new taxes. Democrats say they've cut as much as they can cut from the state budget. And we have a governor who can't control his own party. He's not in sync with his own party. So even when he comes up with a compromise or a suggestion, he can't get the Republican votes to go along with it. And the way our legislature is, we need a two-thirds supermajority to pass a budget. So every year, it's usually pretty bad, but this year is exceptionally bad because of the size of the deficit.
Julie, what's on the table of how to make up this gap? Let's take the governor's executive order laying off 22,000 people. Has that happened? Will that happen? Or are there many obstacles before that could happen?
Well, the layoffs already went through. They went through last week. On Thursday, he signed an executive order. Some departments, anticipating that was going to happen, went ahead and laid off state workers. But is that going to save the state enough money to close the budget gap? No way. And a lot of people saw this move as just political posturing, a way for the governor to turn up the volume and turn up the heat on the legislature to say, you know, get this budget passed. That, you know, in the meantime, you have people being affected by this. You know, one of the people that she testified in the Senate hearing this week on the effects of these budget cuts, her name's Celeste Knox, and she worked for the State Department for Consumer Affairs. I think you have a bit of tape from her. She's what the state calls an intermittent permanent worker, which means she's on call by the state, and she showed up Wednesday morning to report to work, and here's what she had to say.
On Wednesday, July 30th, 8:45, I signed the final paperwork on the purchase of a home for me and my children. And at 10, I was told not to report work any longer, that my services were no longer needed. I have not received my paycheck. I can't pay my bills right now. I did not have a notice of layoff. And I'm not guaranteed that I'll have a job when this budget is finally signed.
Julie, what turmoil, because there was so little warning, and I can imagine that there are many others who are dealing with this very same issue.
Yeah, it's been a pretty bad fallout. I'm not sure. I mean, I think the governor made a lot of enemies when he made these cuts, not a lot of friends. And you have state workers actually marching through the halls of the Capitol, visiting the legislative offices, protesting around the state. And I think a lot of people are kind of appalled by this. And it really doesn't address the problems of the state budget at all. It really does seem to be a political stunt. So, you know, the governor did it, he said, because we're facing a cash crisis. But this points to some of the intrigue of what's going on in California. He says that, but the guy who manages the cash for the state, our state controller, John Chung, says, we're going to borrow the money. We're okay. We have enough cash. We didn't need to do this. So just, you know, set the stage for a showdown. We expect that the different parts of our state government will be suing each other this week over this executive order.
Julie, step back from politics for a moment. I mean, sure. In a sense, this is bigger than a fiscal story because California is dealing with fuel prices and inflationary issues and the real estate crunch and the credit crunch all at the same time. And in some ways, the government is kind of a victim, much like consumers are around the country. Is that part of what's creating the paralysis?
Well, absolutely. I mean, the problem is huge. You know, the deficit came on swiftly. You know, last year it didn't look like it was going to be this bad. By December, legislators had a different view, and it's just gotten worse, mostly because of the housing crisis and the mortgage foreclosures. That's been the really big impact in California. So it's a huge problem. I think most governments would be paralyzed in the face of trying to fill a budget deficit this large.
And so there's just simply no easy answers. So there'll be lots more talk. Julie Small, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Julie Small covers the Capitol for Southern California Public Radio, KPCC. And $15 billion sounds like no small change.